Last case for argument, United States v. Lee. Mr. Meyer.
Lee and Lee.
May it please the court, John Meyer appearing on behalf of the defendants in this case. I will be presenting the argument for the defendants on the joint issues raised in the common brief. The central issue in this case is whether or not the government established federal jurisdiction over the crime that was charged in the district court. The defendants were charged with uttering and possessing counterfeit checks of various private companies issued or drawn on accounts of these companies at various banks. In order to obtain federal jurisdiction over this crime, the government had to prove that either the companies named on the face of the checks or the issuing banks operated in interstate commerce. That they were legal entities and, in fact, operated in interstate commerce. The defendants have submitted in their briefs that there was a total failure of proof on both issues. One, the government did not prove or did not offer sufficient proof that any of these companies named on the face of the checks existed.
Well, the banks, you think the banks are fictional also?
There was no proof that they weren't fictional, Your Honor. That is...
Well, isn't one of them Citibank?
Citibank. That was a named payee
think
bank,
some
payor
chance
bank.
Citibank is some gigantic...
Hoax.
Fake.
Hoax.
Hoax, right?
Well...
I've always thought so.
You know, unless this court is prepared to take judicial notice that Citibank is a legal entity operating in interstate commerce, there's no proof of that issue, and that's what
we
needed.
Well, all banks operate in interstate commerce. That's clear. But you're saying there's no proof that these are real banks.
And I would even dispute the fact that all banks operate in interstate commerce. There are cases that hold that FDIC insured banks operate in interstate commerce. However, there has to be some proof that the banks operate in it. You just can't name a bank and then walk away from it and say, well, assume first of all that the bank exists, and second, assume that the bank operates in interstate commerce. That's the assumption.
How could you have a bank that didn't operate in interstate commerce? I don't understand that because, you know, people would be depositing checks written on other banks, right? And the money goes through, you know, clearing systems that are interstate. That seems pretty unrealistic.
I assume that this issue was raised in the trial court level.
In the motion
for a directed verdict at the end of the case.
Judgment of acquittal. And it was denied by a written order by Judge Leinenweber.
In which he said?
He found that there was sufficient evidence of, first of all, the existence of the payor companies because of the testimony by one witness that he had looked up a company on the Internet and found a company with a similar name but at a different address.
How about the bank existence
of the
bank?
On the banking systems, Judge Leinenweber ruled in citing the Spinello case that FDIC insured banks are assumed to operate.
And there was an evidence that this was an FDIC insurance bank?
There was absolutely. The victim bank, of course, where the checks were deposited.
Right.
There was evidence that St. Paul Federal operated in interstate commerce.
Uh-huh.
They were FDIC insured.
Well, how much do you need?
Well, that's
a sufficient connection.
No, that's a totally separate issue, Judge.
Oh.
The government not only has to prove that St. Paul Federal, the bank where the checks were cashed, operated in interstate commerce, but they also have to prove that the issuing bank, the checks on which the checks were drawn, operated in interstate commerce. And that's where there was a complete failure of proof. And Judge Leinenweber made...
What did he say about the other banks?
He said, in citing the Spinello case, that the other banks were FDIC insured. And therefore, under the law...
What did he base that on?
I don't know. There was no evidence to that effect. But that's a case he cited as far as holding there was a sufficient nexus with interstate commerce. And there was absolutely no evidence that any of these banks were FDIC insured or operated in interstate commerce. That's all the government had to do in this case, is come up with some evidence, present FDIC insurance, present evidence that they were members of the Federal Reserve System. There was numerous ways the government could have met its burden in this case, and they did not. They simply relied on the fact that on the face of the checks, there was the name Citibank, or there was the name Bank of Waukegan, and then asked the jury and the court to say, well, let's just assume that the bank exists and that it operates in interstate commerce.
Well, some of them, they looked at the checks and saw basically acknowledgments and stuff that came back. In fact, they were rejected, and that was sort of, wasn't that enough?
Right. No, I would submit that it was not enough, because the only testimony concerning the stamps on the checks, which were, you know, returned unpaid or refer to maker, the only person that testified as to what those stamps meant or how they played into the case was the testimony of an employee of the bank where the checks were cashed. She wasn't associated with the issuing banks. All she could testify as to what her knowledge was. She didn't know.
Well, that's all anybody can testify to as to what
right,
their knowledge
exactly.
is.
And in this case, it wasn't sufficient.
Why isn't it sufficient?
Because the government, they can't prove that another bank exists by the testimony of somebody else just looking at a document that didn't authenticate.
If I work for a bank and I submit checks to another bank and they're cleared regularly, would I be in a position to testify that there was another bank and it was clearing checks?
No, I don't think you would. I don't think
I've done it.
But you don't know how. You don't know whether she did not testify that these checks were ever put in the clearing system or submitted through the Federal Reserve System. She just says, hey, I'm sitting here at the bank and I get this check back and it's marked unpaid.
Right.
There should have been testimony that, hey, this check was put in the Federal Reserve System. It came back after going through the Federal Reserve System. I know this
bank. No, all you need is evidence that the bank is in or affects interstate commerce, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be the individual transaction. Does it?
Exactly. That it doesn't have to be that this particular transaction affected interstate commerce. It has to be that the entity, the organization, as it's called in the statute, operated in or affected interstate commerce. And as I stated earlier, there's a myriad
of... How is security defined? Isn't that the key word, the security of an organization?
That was not an issue in this case, Your Honor. I mean, a check is a security. I mean, by nature, a check, by its very nature, is called a security. However, in this case, the question is, was the checks
identified? So is it a security of both the drawer and the issuer?
No, it's only, well, it's a security... I guess the definition would be it's a security of the issuing bank on which a check is drawn, because that's the bank that is saying...
So why is the reality or fictionality of the drawers relevant here?
Of the issuing bank?
No, of the drawers, the people who sign the checks, these companies. Suppose they were
fictitious. Why is that an issue?
Why would that make a difference?
Because the way the statute reads, and as interpreted by numerous cases, the government can meet its burden by proving that either...
But that's inconsistent with what you just said. You said the check is a security of the bank, not of the organization
that signs it. I didn't mean to say that, Judge. I misspoke, if that's what you understood my comment. No, I think it's a security of both.
Of both, okay.
And all the government had to do was prove, of course.
Wasn't there a stipulation relative to the drawer banks that they either, or the companies were doing it, were either non-existent or
exactly.
Was,
there was a stipulation to that effect, or that the companies did not authorize the checks,
right.
Or they were completely fictitious.
Yeah.
Of course, that left the jury with only speculation.
That assumes the exact existence of the corporation, the company. If we stipulate that the companies either did not know about it.
No, I would disagree.
Oh,
it,
okay.
It simply means...
You can disagree if you want.
Thank you, Judge. It simply means that the companies did not exist at all. If the stipulation...
Or you said it's either they existed and
didn't
authorize it.
The checks.
So, but the, in order, if that or is there, you're in. Now, the other question I have is, there's the government cites the Leslie case from the Second Circuit, which says the use of the word federal in a bank implies the existence of part of the federal deposit insurance company, because it's illegal not to, unless you can show otherwise. They didn't require any further proof other than the use of the name federal in the title.
But if you look at the Leslie case, Your Honor.
I did.
And it's a money laundering case where the existence...
But the problem was the same.
No, the bank, there was no challenge, no contest about the fact that the bank actually existed. That was the name of the bank. And that was a totally different situation than this case.
That isn't what they ruled on. They just said the name gave rise to the presumption of the existence.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. Once they had identified the bank as actually existing.
Oh, you killed
okay.
Your...
Okay. No,
thank you.
I understand your point, anyway.
Okay. And I understand your point, Your Honor. Thank
Mr. Kubiatowski?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Steve Kubiatowski representing the United States. As Mr. Meyer acknowledged...
Well, this was certainly botched. Why didn't you get a stipulation that these are banks that operate in interstate commerce?
Your Honor, we thought that the theory that the victim bank was FDIC insured was sufficient to satisfy the definition of organization.
Yeah, but take the Bank of Waukegan. What does the record show about the Bank of Waukegan?
That's
well,
correct.
How can a conviction then be upheld for the checks that were written on that bank?
With respect to those two counts, Your Honor, we believe that the jury could rationally infer that on the basis that the other two banks existed, and we do.
Oh no! Wait a second. Wait. That can't be right. You're saying because there's proof that two banks are real banks, the naming of a third bank, which could be a complete fiction, can be assumed to be real also?
It was part of the pattern.
Never heard of such a thing.
It was part of the pattern with respect to how the defendants manufactured their counterfeit checks, Your Honor. They took
That's
names.
Like your other argument that because one or two of these companies are real, the rest are real.
That's correct, Your Honor.
That doesn't sound like proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
We're simply arguing, Your Honor, that the jury could make the rational inference that based on the way the scheme worked.
I understand
worked.
You. What if you had, you know, Citibank, and you have the Standard Federal Bank, and then you have the Bank of Oz? So would you say, well, two of these banks are real, so Bank of Oz has kind of a funny name, but, well, that must be real, too.
I agree, Your Honor. The evidence
you
could...
Look, it's an element of the crime. Bank of it has to be that the Bank of Waukegan is real and operates in or affects interstate commerce. It has to be. Now, there's no proof of that.
With respect to the Bank of Waukegan.
Except the other banks, fine. But there's no proof of this bank. Maybe Bank of Waukegan has such tiny assets it really is local and not interstate commerce. But in any event, don't those counts have to be vacated?
Your Honor, if you believe that you cannot make that rational inference, then yes, well, I would agree that counts 6 and 7 would
be
vacated.
Can you make it beyond a reasonable doubt? That's my...
Your Honor...
I mean, there's no... In fact, you can look up the Bank of Waukegan. It does exist. I'm sure it's in interstate commerce. But there really is no proof. So that's troublesome.
That being said, Your Honor, The other counts, count one certainly applies to both defendants. Counts four and five applies to defendant Andre Lee. And the evidence with respect to those counts certainly established that the banks involved in those counts, Citibank, Standard Federal Bank, there's no question that the jury could reasonably infer that those banks existed.
From the stamps?
From the stamps, from the testimony of the bank fraud coordinator who testified that she contacted those banks in the course of her investigation to determine exactly why the checks were returned. And that alone should be sufficient to satisfy the fact that the banks did exist. Certainly they operated in interstate commerce. Based on that theory, the jury could rationally infer that the interstate commerce nexus was satisfied. And again,
as far as
one,
Bank of Waukegan, is that were any defendants convicted of that exclusively?
Defendant Theodore Lee was convicted on counts one, the conspiracy count, and counts six and seven. Andre Lee was convicted on counts one, two, three.
Yeah, but which ones, which counts involved Bank of Waukegan?
Counts six and seven. If those were to be vacated, assuming the court upheld the remaining counts of conviction with respect to every defendant, count one alone would be sufficient to uphold the convictions with respect to both defendants, Andre Lee and
really?
Theodore Lee.
Really? I mean, is that clear that he conspired with respect to the other banks?
Yes, Your Honor.
But those two counts still have to be vacated.
If you disagree with the government's theory, then yes, Your Honor, I would have to agree with that. But again, we believe that based on the evidence that was submitted here, the pattern, the jury can infer that the pattern with respect to these defendants, how they got their checks through, they picked real banks.
Yep.
The only way it would get through the system.
But you can't, your proof is not based of the existence of the bank on anything the defendants wrote or did. Somebody's got to have to say, or you have to produce a document. There's certificates of deposit insurance which would be available to you even if you didn't want anything else.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's routine in these cases, you know, involving bank fraud and all that the government usually gets a stipulation. If it doesn't, then as Judge Bauer says, you know, these are
go and prove
documents
it.
You put in. And
they don't have to stipulate, obviously. All I have to do is say not guilty and stare you in the eye for the rest of the trial.
And
the ball's in your court.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Meyer, your time expired. Do you have anything further? No.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. So you were appointed.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't take a check for this case.
The only check is from the government.
Yeah, well, that one should pass.
Well, that's...
They always pass.
I don't know. Don't worry about that. Okay, call the recess.